Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Go ahead.
Mercury retrograde. We both went, you want to do it? And then the Blog Talk lady started. Okay, Heather, you do it.
Okay, this is Welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers, and we're at least two of us tonight that are the three astrologers, that love sharing our fascination with astrology with you, and we love watching how astrology unfolds in the daily drama, in our personal and social lives, and in the metaphysics around us, and in the political headlines, because, boy, are they wild these days. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, and I am joined by my lovely friend, Anne
Ortley, and here I am at the Bright Red Desk in New York, New York, and we're taking questions, we're taking answers, we're doing all sorts of stuff. Very cool.
Right.
So
and
forward.
And we'll add in a few minutes. We'll talk a little bit about the astrology of the moment and the astrology of this weekend because it's pretty wild. And we're looking at the beginning of a new political era Friday at noon in Washington, D.C. So here we are on the last day of Capricorn with the moon in Libra conjunct Jupiter tonight. Venus and Mars still in Pisces conjunct Neptune, leaving everybody feeling a little awash, overwhelmed, a little spacey, and, you know, feeling like, I don't know if the end of the world is coming. I hear this from so many of my clients. And yes, they can feel like this politically. I'm really praying it's only because we feel like this, because of the Pisces. But, you know, Mars is about to head into Aries about a week afterwards. Venus enters Aries on February 3rd, and the energy will really ramp up into a pretty wild, woolly, rebellious spring.
So, and you think it's going fast now? It's going to get even faster. Wild and crazy and out of control.
So we can control ourselves, but we can't control what's going on around us. And so, Anne, what are you seeing for Friday when the sun is in Aquarius, the moon is in Scorpio, as the new administration begins?
Well, I think it's a really interesting chart, and I think one of the things that we all need to look at is, you know, that Scorpio moon is a very intense moon. It's considered in its detriment, and so when we see that, we kind of go, gee, detriment, maybe not a great thing to be sworn in as the president under. But the Aquarius piece, that happens, you know, because that's the changing of the guard.
It is every year.
Yeah, it is every year. And so we have that shift in energy that's part of who we are. And, of course, you know, one of the beauties of being a democracy is we have this transition of power into, you know, from one to the other, the outgoing rides in the car. To the swearing-in ceremony, and then goes out the back door and catches a helicopter to wherever they're going to go live. In this case, I think they're going to an island to take a vacation. And then the president goes and has the balls and watches the parade and goes to, you know, starts running the country. So the thing I really noticed was in the inauguration chart for Friday at noon, and it's always usually a little smidge afternoon, right? So we've got Taurus on the ascendant, and, of course, it's right near the point of fame, 15 Taurus, which makes Venus be super strong. And she's in Pisces, so that's good. We like that energy. There is in the chart, you know, a couple of hammers of Thor, and hammers of Thor are definitely, you know, kind of faded energies. And then we also have a big grand trine in water, which is, you know, how are we going to emotionally process it? So it's a very emotional inauguration. A lot of times, you know, I don't remember hearing people saying they weren't going to the inauguration before. And there's a lot of that running around these days. And a lot of emotion. And, of course, there's all the energy of the 11th house, which is the groups, And, you know, there's all the Pisces planets are in the 11th house. And then behind the scenes is the Uranus-Eris, which is the disgruntled energy of the inauguration. So, you know, it's an interesting chart. It's the Venus is aspected by Pluto. She just finished her sextile to him. And she rules the chart. So she's got a very strong energy about, like, well, what's the triangulation and how does the triangle work? But we're also still in Mercury's shadow, so there's still secrets to be revealed. And we have very strong energy around, you know, the two grand crosses in the chart, one of which involving the Sun and the other one involving the Jupiter, kind of kick us into motion and energy. So it's a very volatile chart. I mean, the skies are volatile anyway. Mm-hmm. And then Saturn and Juno in the 8th with the Moon in Scorpio right at the edge of the 7th house, I don't know that this is, you know, I definitely have politics. I'm not interested in this guy as being my president. But, you know, with the Jupiter and the Moon in the 6th house, there can be a lot of Scorpio energy kind of flying around with this, which is, of course, square to the Sun. And it's a little disgruntled, but it's also, you know, it's Scorpio. It says, you know, what's your passion? What's your pleasure? What's the triangulation? So I think that's big. And then, of course, Saturn's in the 8th house in Sag, which is a lot of, you know, if you say Saturn is restrictions, 8th house is death, and Sagittarius is freedoms, you know, it's a lot of restrictions around freedoms as part of the signature of the chart because the midheaven reports into Capricorn. The thing I find interesting, you know, as a observer of the heavens, at this point in time when Pluto's about halfway through Capricorn or any sign, when he's halfway through any sign, the groups that are going to protest are going to form. So when we had the AIDS epidemic, this is when ACT UP and GMHC were really active. When we had the pedophile priest thing in the Catholic Church, Pluto and Sag, that was when the voice of the Catholics formed. So this these energies that are forming, starting with Standing Stone, people out west, in the middle of the heartland of the country, against the corporate interests, and then now we're going to have the Women's March with the pink hats. Pink is, of course, is there's a grand trine in fire. It's going to actually look like a lot of red hats, you know. So, they're not going to look pink on the TV. They're going to look red. But that's okay. It still counts. And so it's this energy of transformation that wants to take place. Everything's above the horizon. We're seeing it all.
Yep. I know that in the chart of the Mythic America, there's so many different charts of America, but the chart of the Mythic America, July 4th, 1776, 5:15 p.m., has the Sun at 13 Cancer and Saturn at 14 Libra. So whenever planets hit those mid-degrees, they set off those both of those planets and kind of ring it a bit. And the ascendant at 13, Sag. So there's it sets that pattern off, whatever we do. It's interesting that the closest, you know, that we inaugurate someone close to the Sun on the south node of the country in Aquarius every time.
Every time, Well, they moved the inauguration date. It used to be March. The, if you look at the, it was elected.
It was on the Chiron.
Yes, it the election day is the second day in November, which is Mars's Moon's day, Mars's hour. So to get the public out in the world to change the thing, and the inauguration used to be in March, not in the middle of winter. So they shifted that. That was that's not the original. It changed. So that gives us a whole different kind of feel for the way the government works.
And it is a very Aquarian process. But it is interesting that they do that.
But it's not astrologically selected like the last one was.
Interesting.
Which was the election day. So I'm kind of like,
With the... And I was just looking at the aspects for in related to the American chart, our progressed moon, if we use that chart for America, the progressed moon is at 11 Sag and will be crossing our ascendant in 2 months and moving into the first house. So that'll be interesting how visible we're going to be and how much on stage we're going to be during this time. Our progressed Mars under that, using that time, is at 18 Libra, and so Pluto is coming to square our progressed Mars as a country. Yeah.
And our squares, and he squared our Saturn.
Yeah.
Already.
Yep.
He stationed square our Saturn in September.
Yep. So it's going to be an interesting process, and I just see that. You know, rebellion is our middle name. Uranus is sitting right on the Chiron in the fourth house. You know, the country was born with Chiron in the fourth, with natural rebellion as just part of what we do and are. And it's and Uranus is sitting right on that Chiron. That's kind of helping people remember that they can kind of co-create their world. And they need to get involved and not expect the country to run by itself, that we really, it is designed to be run by all of us getting involved together.
Yeah, and the Chiron-Mars conjunction that takes place is in the inauguration chart, takes place a day or two before the inauguration. So that's going to be interesting to see, because that's in the next day or so. So we're gonna have that this week, and then we have the inauguration on Friday. So I always find the, you know, the inauguration charts interesting. I know Barack Obama got it sworn in on a void moon one, and they screwed up his swearing in. And so then John Roberts went to the White House and did a private swearing in. Right? So it was kind of like made astrologers crazy because we were like, all right, now what's the real time that he got sworn in? Because, you know, we all sit there watching the clock for what time he got sworn in to see, because it's not always, you know, it's not at high noon. But it's kind of an interesting exercise in process. And this particular one, with so much high and the moon in its detriment, moon ruling the third house and the fourth house, and the moon will be ruling the third house for the next 2 hours. So I don't know that we're going to have any drop in the crabbiness that's out there. And the moon also is trine Neptune, right? And it forms a minor grand trine with Mercury. So there's a lot of energy, you know, around words and stuff and how words are focused. So just be aware they're keeping track of stuff. They're paying attention to what you say. My piano teacher was here this morning, and he had tuned Gracie Mansion's piano, which is the mayor in New York's house. And so he was talking to the cops, and the cops were like, no, he's the piano guy. And they had a picture of him, and, you know, he was coming, and this is what the piano guy looked like. And then he said behind him there were these people that had threatened the mayor, that had, you know, bodily, you know, physically threatened to kill the mayor. They had pictures of these guys up so the cops could spot them if they came by the mayor's mansion, right? I was like, wow. You know, and then right before I got on the news with you, I posted on my Facebook, you know, Paul Ryan not taking calls, so let's send postcards to his house. And I got an email from one of my friends who said she'd reposted it and gotten yelled at by some guy that this was harassment of his wife and children. And I'm like, so, you know, mail it to his office. And I said, hell, you know, like, I got taken off of Facebook for it. You know, my thing got deleted because I was stalking him, apparently. It was violating community standards. And I was like, okay, you know, good to know. Won't say it in person like that anymore. But it's kind of like, you know, if you're feeling really passionate about things, this is the kind of energy that's out there, you know. So, you know, I said, so send him a postcard to his house and his office. You know, now that we have the office, mail it there. But it's understanding that it's like, no, you know, you're accountable to everybody. You know, the whole country's paying attention. So I think that's the activism piece with the moon trine Neptune. And people are coming up with really creative ways to do things and say things.
Yes, they are.
I certainly never would have thought to do that. You know, but now that I saw it, I'm like, well, I can send a postcard to Paul every time he does something I don't like. You I'm up
so
for that.
So tomorrow, yeah. Mars squares Saturn, and that feels like what, you know, it's both frustrating. And tomorrow, Mars squares Saturn, Sun enters Aquarius, Moon goes into Scorpio. And, you know, it's that frustrating energy, and everybody's kind of getting set up, and I'm glad I'm not in their way. But it's also the sense of, you know, it's the rebel against the old school. And it could be also our desires against our discipline, or our work versus our desire to go play hooky. But we kind of like feel the frustration with that energy at the moment. On Friday, I think there's a lot of emotions before the inauguration as Venus sextiles Pluto that morning. And, you know, that's the being sad about leaving office. And I'm wondering, Bush, you know, George Bush Sr. and his wife
were in the hospital tonight.
And I'm wondering if that also
He's been in a few days already, Heather. They just told us now.
That he might be in worse shape than, you know, because he went in and then they said he went out, but apparently he didn't. And now he's definitely in the ICU and, you know, has pneumonia, and it might be a close call. If he leaves, there, you know, there's a sense of being sad and mourning what we've lost. And to be, you know, for Trump to be upstaged in his inauguration by people's grief over the last sort of gentleman Republican that was in office. And on the other side of that, letting go of Obama and saying goodbye to his family. And then, you know, we have the afternoon. The next day, as the Women's March gets going, we have the Moon trine Venus and Mars, and you see the energy building up. Now, I would have put the march on the following day when the Moon went into Sagittarius, because people will feel like marching then, and they won't feel like marching on Sunday, on Saturday. But the you know, there is a lot of sense of camaraderie and support and emotional connection as that Scorpio Moon trines Venus and Mars. It just
trines all the Neptune
planets.
All
in their tender places. Yeah.
In the house of groups in the inauguration.
Yeah.
So it's
going
to activate. The Neptune is, you know, the forgotten or the left behind or the, you know. That's what I think with that Moon. And, of course, Moon and Scorpio is Glenn Close and Fatal Attraction. So, you know, don't get us mad kind of thing. So I think it's much more of a Scorpio parade. It's not a happy parade, Heather.
So
it's
too.
A Scorpio parade. You know, it's Helen Reddy, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, you know, like with my pink pussycat hat on. You know, so it's kind of like, I mean, these hats have ears in them, for heaven's sakes. I was like,
I know.
And they're very cute.
Very
so
funny.
I said, one of my assistants is marching down there, and the other one's marching in New York. So I'm like, if it's warm, I'll march, but if it's cold, I'm going home. You know, and I actually have a board meeting that morning. So two of the women from the board of directors of the Jung Institute are marching in Washington. So they're not coming to the meeting. Yeah, so
yeah,
it was,
lovely.
I guess, an excused absence.
Right.
So.
And Mercury sextiles Neptune on Monday and reminds us that we do have a choice to have a vision about a different world.
Yes,
and that's one of what I put on my Facebook page, was asking everybody to, on Friday, read the Constitution and really visualize where you want the country to be. Imagine it in a healthy, beautiful, supportive, loving place. So that the visualization that we're putting, it's not necessarily, it's not supporting Trump, nor is it just being anti him, but really holding a different paradigm. Holding that paradigm and holding him, you know, he's not going to be accountable, but we can hold the government accountable to that vision.
Yeah. And also there was an interesting website I ran into called Indivisible, INDIVISIBLE, and I printed it up. Now, my reps are very, you know, pro people, and so I decided I'm going to move to Florida. In the sense that I'm going to register, I'm going to move down into my dad's apartment and write to those Congress people. I mean, I'm not physically going to move, but I'm going to adopt them as my members of Congress. There's an orderly in that house. There's actually two that vote. And I'm going to say, member of Congress, let's do this, you know, because Pinellas
Excellent.
Went red. Yeah, so that's the other thing. Mm-hmm. It was really full of really good ideas. So I encourage everybody to read Indivisible. So I saw we had a letter from somebody, but I can't find it in my email searches. Did you by any chance?
Neither can I.
Neither could you.
Okay. If people pass that on, let us, if we have not answered
somebody
it,
wrote
it,
I saw it, I meant to print it out, and now I can't find it in my searches. So resend
so we
it
have
to
the people on the line? Shall
we
give
we have a couple
them
people.
A chance?
Totally, and if you want to call and ask us a question, you can call us at 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881, and when you call, press 1, and we'll answer your, we'll pick up your phone call, and we'll talk to you. So we've got somebody who was here bright and early, 401, was been holding, 401-319, you've been holding for a while, and you're not in the air. How can we help?
Well, hello, Ann, Heather. Thank you so much. I love you guys.
Thank you.
The frustration you all feel and I live with, because I have that wonderful Cardinal T cross, and I need to find success because I am out of work once again.
What's your birthday?
Kind of November 1st, 1960.
Okay.
November 1st, 1960. Yep.
6:43 a.m. And I was born in Rhode Island, although I'm in Florida now.
Okay. I see you have a Rhode Island area code. And
I
what part of Rhode Island were you born?
Pawtucket.
Pawtucket.
The bucket.
Pawtucket,
I used to live in Providence. I know.
Yes, we've talked about that, Heather.
Yeah. So,
I know I
have,
you know, my job situation is up and down all the time. Please.
Yeah.
I had an interview yesterday. I'm like, come on. You know, I need a little stability, and obviously I need some help with timing because I'm not working it very well.
And your field of ability and your field of interest?
Sport,
what do you do?
Like, you know, office support, accounting, bookkeeping. I have a lot of skill set, and, you know, I've done a lot of different jobs, you know, throughout the years. And at this point, I will do any job. I can do sales. I worked at Brown in fundraising. I used to support fundraisers and do events, travel, and, you know, so I have a real eclectic background.
So you've got that wonderful, you know, Pluto's just beginning to leave your chart alone.
Thank you.
You know, what a difference it's going to be as Pluto pulls off, because you've got, you know, Saturn at 13 cap, Moon at 14 Aries, and your Mars at 16 Cancer. So Pluto's still opposing your Mars, but it's leaving those two other planets alone for the first time in years.
Yes.
So, you know, you're getting there. You're getting there. Uranus is off it. You're beginning to build. Look for people, I would say, that are making a difference. It's probably not time to work with people in education because your Mars in the ninth is still getting tackled by Pluto for a while longer. But if you – and your Saturn's still in your second for a while, so you're doing financial reorganization. But it looks to me like – you know, look for people that do Uranus-Pluto things, fundraising for people that are making big differences, that are doing rehab or helping with, you know, refugees or dealing with crises. You're good in organizations that deal with crises.
Mm-hmm.
And
deal
they'll
with change.
Need to, yeah, go ahead and take it away.
No, the ones that deal with change, yeah.
I've been doing small businesses, too. I worked for a roofing company for about a year and a half, but they didn't get paid on a couple of jobs and couldn't make payroll. Then I worked for a home builder, and that was kind of like it was a family-run business, dysfunctional, and there was somebody she had wanted to hire before that wasn't. So my job ended right before Christmas. So it's tough, my timing. That's why I was saying, like, I know astrology too, and I know, but I don't see myself, and I got these blind spots, and I'm like, how do I work it?
I don't know that you do. You know, you've got Uranus on the midheaven, so it's. I would kind of think of yourself as you get dumped, or dropped, whatever you want to kind of say it, into places, and you stay there and make a change or do some change work or work while they're going through changes. And then your chart goes, okay, done here, next. And they kind of pop you out and send you off to a new place, which does not necessarily make your chart feel stable, but it's kind of the way of the world with you. So the good news is that you're, you know, that, you know, you've gotten used to this kind of bopping around stuff. You're going to have Uranus go into your sixth house, which is an excellent time for you to say, gee, you know, maybe I should do freelancing, self-employment stuff, or I do stuff that where I allow the need to change every day or to have kind of constant change to happen. And you've got a good bookkeeping background, it looks like, with the Neptune Scorpio. So have you thought about doing your own work where you work for people doing their bookkeeping
setting
and stuff, and then you kind of do one here and one there and run around
I'm
a bit?
Actually, I'm doing that. My sister, I've moved to Florida 2 years. My sister's a tax accountant. She just finally went on her own. And we couldn't be more polar opposite if we tried. I'm the organizer. I just did a flyer for her and stuff like that. So I'm doing intern, unpaid, to keep my bookkeeping skills. I learned so much from her, and it helps her. So it's like the two-fold mutual, as I call, receptive relationship. So I am doing that. So I do bookkeeping. I'm doing spiritual work too, because I still do, you know, tarot and astrology. I don't and it may be because I wasn't as committed. I can't figure out what, there's some block there. I'm not usually, you know, your customers just come. For some reason, I'm not drawing customers, okay? But I'm trying to get
you're not drawing
butter.
What? Say it again. You broke up a little
customers
there.
Customers or clients.
Okay.
I'm not drawing the customers or clients, but it's always been part-time. And it has to be secondary because I have to have I'm sole supporter. I have to make enough money to support myself.
Well, you know, do you have a website up for your office skills?
No, I don't. I have it up.
Okay, now is time for you to put to get yourself because you know you remind me of a client in New Mexico that who calls herself the Office Angel, and she does support for all kinds of people, individuals, companies that need extra office support, but only a few hours a week. So she's put together, and a lot of new age and people that need support in the healing fields. So, you know, you can do this. Will you bring, you know, your tagline might be, I bring New York, you know, or East, you know, New England efficiency to Florida. You know, how can I do this? Because you like emergencies. You like things that go fast, intense, that you're needed, that you can get in there and do a project. You hate being told what to do.
Mm.
So, you know, imagine that, you know, if you were starting your own business that used all your skills, what would it look like, sound like, feel like? And you can get that up and running while you're waiting. I mean, and it may be what takes you off, it takes off in the long run.
And also talk to other accountants, because a lot of times the people, like my accountant, like sends out my bookkeeper. You know, I kind of put them together. So my bookkeeper, you know, does bookkeeping, but she does. My accountant's like, do you take extra gigs? The minute I introduce them, and she was like, I do. And so she got extra gigs from, you know, by saying to a couple of accountants, hey, you know, if you need somebody, if one of your clients needs bookkeeping, I do it. Especially if they're small and they don't offer bookkeeping services, which a lot
like
of them 10
don't. 10 hours a week. Right, because I used to do that with my, years ago I worked with my sister in Rhode Island when she was still up there. She's really good at what she does, so it's just getting established down here because it's Florida.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're going to write to the congressman. It's like living in 1950s here. I have to say.
Right.
Well,
so
you're
going to
have
do it, you have to embrace it, and you have to reach out, and you have to have your website, which is your virtual temple, so everybody can see it, and it has to be the beacon. You're through your Pluto transits. Now go get in there and live it. Okay.
And your progress moon's in Taurus, so it does come to oppose your Neptune and moon in this next month or two, which kind of kicks your chart into a whole new work cycle. And the eclipse that we have in February on the 11th is really big in your chart in terms of a new career energy coming in.
Oh.
So that's good. And it takes us back to August of 15 and to Taurus time, May of last year. So you're kind of going out into the world in a whole new way in February. No, it looks good. I would say go for it. So.
Thank you, ladies. I love you guys.
Okay,
and I really
thank
love
you.
You to come
a big
down and
hug.
Down here.
You take care.
Thank you.
Okay. You're
bye.
Welcome. Okay, and on that note, the British lady said we're cooked. So we're signing off. I'm signing off from the Bright Red Desk in New York. And Heather?
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins. We'll see you next week. Take care.
And we're having a class on March 11th, which will be up on my website in the next couple of days. So we will send
wonderful.
It out to a link to everybody so you can all sign up for it.
Look
take care.
To it. Take
yay.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye.